You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. So, Mindy, there's a musical of David Copperfield, right?
There is of Oliver. I don't think there is one of Copperfield.
Not of Copperfield, but it feels like it was perfect for one.
Well, I suppose you'd have to hire too many actors. I mean, all those little dirty bottle cappers. I mean, that's a lot of union dues.
That's the big chorus. I mean, look at Hamilton. There's like 7,000 people on stage at points, but they're all just singing in the background. You know, you could do it with this, and it's a perfect Broadway story. It's like Geist goes from nothing to being rich and successful to nothing again to successful again. I mean, that is singing and dancing material. Well, the reason I'm bringing up a musical of David Copperfield isn't just because we tend to start a lot of the reviews that Mindy is on with singing, just not this one.
I'm a poor street urchin, bottling bottles, making the wine for my bastard stepdad.
Please, Mindy, can we have some more?
Wrong musical, slap!
Oh, shit, sorry. But this is the review for The Personal History of David Copperfield, which is the title for this new adaptation, actually the first filmed adaptation of David Copperfield in 51 years.
That's crazy. That is surprising, especially considering its common domain.
Yeah, and it's one of the big Charles Dickens novels. I mean, extremely well known, extremely widely read even today. But you've got, I would say, masterclass writer-director Armando Iannucci, who is known for a number of his films being really, really terrific. But I would always say television was my favorite stuff he's done with the show In the Thick of It, and then Veep on HBO. But this is following up his post-Veep. He did The Death of Stalin in 2017, and now this, which is surprisingly not, and I think the only not political satire that he's done so far in his career. So I went into it a little skeptical. I'm like, okay, this is kind of a period piece, poor guy gets rich, then poor, then rich again story, but not really involved with politics. How's he going to do this? Well, when you get a cast like this, it makes it a little bit easier. Here we've got some people talking about this movie. I've got Mindy.
Yes, I'm the one who represents all the people who read the book and have opinions.
Excellent. And Jordan?
Oh, what the fucking hell, you minced idiots. Oh, wait, this is not a very funny swear minute insult. My bad.
Wrong fast-talking director. I think you're thinking of David Mamet.
Okay, look, I just rewatched Veep.
That's fair. He does do a lot of that on Veep. And then we have Brad.
Hello. Yes, I'm the one that's read the two Dickens books that everybody has read, but I still act like an expert.
Wait, so that would be A Christmas Carol?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And what's the other one?
Oliver Twist.
Oh, is that the one? The other one everybody has read? I always think Great Expectations.
Is there such a thing as a fake Dickens girl? Because I think you might be it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure there were. I mean, he was popular in his time.
I really haven't read David Copperfield. I've just seen the mini adaptations and such. And my basis for signing up for this review was I just heard Armando Iannucci and I was like, I'm sold.
That's all you needed to hear. Yeah, I think he's one of the really great ensemble cast comedy writers today. But like I said, this was something a little bit new. The story, as it were, well, I mean, I already said it's David Copperfield here. It's irrelevant in some ways that everyone is not white. There's people of all different races in this, and it's irrelevant. No, it never comes up. Although I think that the idea of Dev Patel, an Indian actor, playing this character who is sort of the consummate Englishman, there's no small amount of satire hidden inside that choice. But he is, of course, the titular lead character. I don't really want to go point by point by the plot here. Suffice it to say, there's a bad guy who eventually, played by Ben Whishaw in a really terrible bowl cut wig, known as Uriah Heep, which I always thought was just a bad prog metal band from the 70s. And then there's a parade of eccentric characters throughout this thing, played by such wonderful character actors as Peter Capaldi and Hugh Laurie and Tilda Swinton, who is, you know, again, if you're like, oh, Tilda Swinton's in it, I'm like, oh, I'll watch it.
That was one of the things in regards to the overall storytelling that I think was a major positive, is there are plenty of these characters in the book. Like, the Micawbers, they increasingly became exceedingly annoying. I hated Dora from day one. Oh, I wanted to punch her stupid face in the book. Oh, hated her.
I mean, you're kind of supposed to want to do that here,
no,
too.
No, but in this one, it was cute. There, it's creepy.
Yeah.
Miss Grummidge is, she just repeats the same things over and over. Many of them do. In the book, the things that you would find irritating, in this one, many of those same characters are done with a sense of charm, and even if you're not necessarily supposed to like them, you're okay with watching them. I think Hugh Laurie was the best. He's Mr. Dick. Mr. Dick is delightful in the book. He was even more delightful as Hugh Laurie.
I mean, Hugh Laurie has worked before with Iannucci on his In the Loop and the Thick of It, and he normally plays a bad guy, and it's almost weird to see him playing this genuinely lovable character.
Well, that's how he started out. He started out in goofy comedy.
I really liked when he came on to V, because he played this sort of conceiving character that actually did seem good, but much like anyone else in politics, he sort of had his own game. But he played that so well. And yeah, he is one of my personal highlights. Both him and Tilda Swinton as Betsy Trotwood.
Her characterization warmed on me because it is rather different in the book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot of these are different perspectives on these characters. And as you said, a lot of them are more positive. I mean, even it seems Uriah Heep is given for a good portion of the film is a little more positive than he is in the book.
Oh, yeah. He's also one of those that repeats the same thing over and over again. And you want to punch him.
I want to point out the So Wong It's Right casting of Benedict Wong as the drunken Mr. Wickfield.
I was happy to see a bit more comedic side to him.
Yes. Well, he was so funny in Doctor Strange. I was like, okay, I'm not surprised at all.
But, like, also, the last thing I saw him in was Sci-Fi's adaptation of Deadly Class, where he was pretty damn scary.
I did not get around to watching that show, and now it's canceled. It's probably my fault.
And I blame you.
But I think that kind of addressing what Iannucci is trying to do here with this, basically, what you say, 1,300-page novel?
1,307 pages if you include the prologue. If you're listening to it, it's nearly 40 hours long.
Okay, so the good news, folks, is this movie is just under 2 hours long, which is good news because if they were going to adapt this whole book, it would actually be like 8 hours long to do it accurately.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he squeezes it, he compresses it, he gets rid of shit that doesn't need to be there. He ramps it all up to Iannucci pacing, where it's like, bang, bang, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. But the dialogue is so clever written, and he's got all these actors that are fully capable of pulling it off in an ensemble comedy mix, that it never bothered me that he was trying to do something so different with it.
It did to me, because I think this adaptation feels the effects of a lot of book adaptations. As we said, this book is very long. It's long for book standards because it was originally published as a serial. So something like this would probably work, in my opinion, work better as a miniseries because there is so much stuff.
I don't understand. You mean originally this is just the back of a cereal box? That's pretty short compared to 1,300 pages.
There was lots of cereal. They were selling out. You have to cut things. And I think in this one, you have to streamline things. And I think this one felt the effect of streamlining. Because when you streamline stuff, and when you cut it too, it's often at the expense of character development and relationship development. And as I was watching it, it had plot point, plot point, plot point. And those plot points were very true to the book. You know, it even had the same lines in certain spots. But they happened so quickly, you didn't get a sense of some of the relationships. Like, for example, one of the biggest ones I thought was Darren Boyd as Edward Murdstone and his sister, Jane. Murdstone is like the big villain at the beginning of the book. These are the people that terrorized him as a child and led his mother to the grave. They are this big imposing figure. And especially when later on in the film and the book, it's talking about how Copperfield was affected by what happened to him in his youth. In this one, it is, I think, maybe 20 minutes before he is an adult.
No, I mean, I hear everything you're saying, but you're talking about if they had chosen to adapt this as a drama, and this is not a drama at all. He wanted to make a comedy.
Dickensian villains can still be villainous.
But David Copperfield is more of a drama than it's a comedy.
That is true. But what and I'm this saying is not. That, like, Murdstone was only there in 3 scenes. You don't see the relationship that happened between him and his mother so that he married his mother.
Well, I think Bradley is going to have to settle this for us. Bradley, which one of us is right? Choose now. Who's better?
Based on the choice I give, I hope neither of you have great expectations.
I saw what you did there.
I thought it was very lighthearted and fun, which you're right. Most Dickens stuff is horrifying to read, especially if you've grown up so well like I did. I enjoyed the almost landscape paintings and wondrous colors, and even dirty ass gross alleys were like brimming with life, and it was just so fun to watch. And the beggars on the street looked like they were having a grand old time, and maybe that's a negative to it, but also, you know, it's British, right? Stiff up a lip. You might die of starvation tomorrow, but, you know, pip, pip, carry on.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is Copperfield telling his story, so the fact that it was theatrical makes sense. You know, I didn't mind that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really did enjoy this movie. I thought it had that Anucci wit to it. I kind of was expecting something different because I just thought, oh, Armando Anucci taking on Charles Dickens, I think this is gonna like kind of turn on its ear. It's a bit more of a straightforward story, more so than, yeah, what you'd expect with like The Thick of It or Veep or even The Death of Stalin. But this honestly really works. It has a great arc to it, and it has so many wonderful characters. You did bring up Murdstone. Fucking Gwendolyn Christie as his sister Jane. It suddenly made me feel like, I'm not so sorry about what happened to Captain Phasma anymore.
Well, they cut out one of the best scenes with Betsy Trotwood in them. That's the thing with making Copperfield an adult so early on that I found confusing, was that, again, the development of him as a child affects him when he's older. And one of the biggest things is that, one, Betsy Trotwood is supposed to be really scary. People are afraid of her. And all that Copperfield has heard about this woman is that she hated him for not being a girl. And so when he's in the factory and runs away, the fact that he goes to her is in last-ditch desperate effort. And then the Murdstones go to essentially bring him back. And she's like, fuck all y'all. Y'all a bunch of bastards. I hate you. He's mine now. You can suck my dick and leave. I'm paraphrasing.
But another decision that you can see, if your choice is that you want to make this a flat out like drawing room comedy as opposed to a drama on any level, which is clearly what Iannucci is trying to do, why you would take that out.
I don't see that being a difference. You can still make that a comedic scene, but still giving Betsy Trotwood that moment of triumph against the villainous Murdstones. You can still do
that. I'm just saying it doesn't feel as essential when you're not focusing on the drama element. And plus, stuff had to go, right?
Stuff had to go, and there's plenty of stuff that made sense, like Mr. Bacchus is not there. That made perfect sense because that's part of Peggotty's story. You know, taking out that scene, I think, took away a massive character moment for both Copperfield and Trotwood.
I will say, Mindy and I run into this issue a lot when we're reviewing movies together. She's like, it needs to be like the original one. I'm like, no, it doesn't.
If it's an adaptation, you need it to at least be
no,
here.
No.
Yes! Yes!
No, no.
I have read it and I have opinions.
I can say no in a funnier voice.
Good adaptations capture the spirit of a story, not the word for word.
Thanks, Dad.
It's okay to be wrong.
It is. That is another lesson I hope a lot of
people
learn.
And someday you'll learn it, Mindy.
I was so happy to see Dev Patel in a leading role again. I don't remember the last time I saw him in anything. I know it's been a while, but I was again, just very happy to see him here because I thought he did a rather fantastic job.
This was supposed to be his year, man. He's in the Green Knight that was supposed to come out at South by Southwest this year.
Yeah.
Right? He was playing the lead in that. And then this, you're like, wow, he was all set to be. This is the Dev Patel year. The year of the Patel, baby.
Well, now I'm even sadder because you reminded me. It's like, oh, yeah, I was so hyped for the Green Knight. Exceptionally strong performance. He's able to really handle the maturity and weight of a character like David Copperfield while still making him effortlessly charming.
Well, it's time to go to final thoughts, and I am going to offer my opponent, Mindy, the opportunity to go first or last.
I will go last.
Oh, damn. She's just like, no one else has ever been last before on a Chris Review. This is my big shot. Okay.
Claiming my time.
Then I will reverse it all. We'll go topsy-turvy, and I'll go first and say I genuinely really enjoyed this. It's a movie I really look forward to watching again and owning a copy of it. It kind of reminds me of the recent version of Emma, that it's kind of a light, frothy, character-based drawing room comedy. It's certainly more expansive than that and definitely bigger budgeted than that. And wow, this cast is just across the board really fucking exceptional. Iannucci writes such terrific dialogue, and no, this isn't true to the original David Copperfield, but Iannucci is famously a huge Charles Dickens nerd, and he's talked a good deal about, I didn't want to be the guy to try and adapt it just like the book. I want to be the guy to make his own version of it and keep the soul there. And I think that's exactly what he did. I think he made it his own, but the soul of Dickens' original novel and that sort of wry sense of humor is most certainly still just as present here. I think this is a great movie. I would not be surprised at all to see this end up even as Best Picture this year. It certainly took a shitload of awards at the BAFTAs in 2019. So I'm going to give this 8.5 out of 10 times that, once again, just like every time I see Tilda Swinton in a movie, I'm like, why hasn't she played David Bowie yet?
Oh, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
She would knock it out of the park.
She would. Bradley, what about you?
I also liked this movie. One of my favorite things about Dickens, being an expert, is his class warfare and the struggles of the poor against the almost ignorant delusions of the rich. There's a scene in Oliver Twist where Oliver's like, I'm going to go find my fortune. See ya, buddy. And his buddy's like, I'm going to be happy soon as well, because the doctor says I'll be dead soon. And that stuck with me. It's so sad. This, of course, is a lot more lighthearted, but Davy Copperfield, he's so kind and compassionate because he's lived in both worlds and has worn both hats, and we get to explore that, and it's great. Also, the movie has my two favorite TV doctors, Peter Capaldi and Hugh Laurie. Excellent performances from them, and it's really a who's who of a lot of big names that just kind of show up, do their thing, and leave. And as you said, the dialogue in this is so much fun. I'm going to give this 8 houses that are actually 10 boats.
Jordan?
I might not be a fan of the organ. I do happen to like Dick Ends quite a bit sometimes. And this was a really fun movie. I honestly liked it far more than I thought I would. I was just here for Armando Iannucci because I'm really not too familiar with Copperfield outside of adaptations. This absolutely won me over. I was overjoyed. So many great performances, especially Dev Patel and Tilda Swinton. This is absolutely one of my favorite films I've seen so far this year. And I do agree with you, Chris. I can see this being like pretty big picture nominations. It is so exceptional, so funny, witty, and just right at 2 hours, it was just a joy to watch. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 very distinguished top hats because I love top hats.
That's fair. Who doesn't love top hats? Exactly. Well, actually, most people probably don't really love top hats anymore, but once upon a time, hey, they look good on Zatanna. I'll give you that.
Oh, yes, they do.
Which I'm sure our last reviewer has cosplayed at some point. Mindy, what is your opinion?
The highlight of this film is absolutely the actors. They are delightful in their roles. They bring a lot of life and fun, and in many ways make the characters better and more likable than they are in the books, even the villainous ones. The overall look of the film is very whimsical, and while some of the surrealist aspects did take me out of it for a second, it very quickly brought me back in, which made sense in that this is a man telling the story of his life. So it made sense that there was an aspect of whimsy and sort of over-the-topness to it. What I think it falters, David Copperfield is episodic. This thing was published in little pieces. And so you had story after story after story after story after story that just happened to involve the same people. And so when you have something that's episodic and doesn't have an overarching plot to it, when you try to condense that into a film, you don't have the emotional investment. You don't have the engagement that you would have if you were reading about it for like 5-6 chapters. And I think that's where it fell short. So, because you have these events and it didn't have the weight. You can still create comedy with weight. And even the happy moments didn't have the weight that they needed in order to make them happy. Like, you didn't get to know the Peggotys. So their journey really wasn't as climactic as it could have been. Micawber didn't get his happy ending. Like, one of the sweetest lines that epitomizes David Copperfield's relationship with his wife was cut from the film. And so it's like, even the happy moments don't get the weight they deserve, which is what you have said Iannucci was trying to do. While the acting was great and it looked pretty, I wish that they had been able to have more time for characterization development for an audience to be more emotionally invested into what happened. But overall, you know, it is delightful and kids will like it. And, you know, adults that are kids at heart will like it too. So I'm going to give it 7 child wives out of 10. That was the creepiest part of the damn book. Because Dora, she is useless, and she knows she's useless. And one thing that Copperfield, when they're married, tells her to try and make her to be like a better wife, not like a better wife, like a better housewife to help around the house better. She's like, before you chastise me, think of me as your child wife. And he does. The rest of the book, he refers to her as his child wife. It's creepy
as Every time she says something dumb, he's like, yeah, okay, well, why don't you go through puberty already? Jeez.
I actually did like Morfydd Clark's whimsical, quirky,
yes,
what are they called? Manic Pixie Dream Girl performance, though.
Not want to punch her in the face, which made me happy.
This is Morfydd Clark we're talking about. I assume that's how you pronounce her name and not Morphy Daredevil Morphy acronym dinner. Clark. I love it though, man. Her name's spelled Morfydd. I'm like, I'm changing my name to Chryss. That is now the official spell.
It's still so weird to see Peter Capaldi in an Armando Iannucci production and not have him fretting to shove something up someone's dick hole.
Yeah, that would have been a different version of this film, to be sure. Don't worry, you know about rule 37, so.
No, that's rule 44.
44? I don't know which rule it is, Jordan. You keep track of these things.
Too many
rules. I just know the rules of acquisition.